Blog Talk Radio.
Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise? Ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby, ooh-wee, ooh-wee, baby. Won't you let me take you on a sea cruise?
Hi, and thanks for listening to WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network. I'm Burke Allen. Well, it's not a good thing, the Gulf oil spill, in many, many ways, not the least of which is the fact that the Gulf oil spill could mean disaster for the restaurant and seafood business. We'll talk with restaurateur and restaurant consultant Edmund Wu in just moments on WAMS. Food, glorious food from Oliver Twist. And food could be in short supply with reports that the massive Gulf Coast oil spill could spread as far away as North Carolina. Now restaurant owners are bracing for the worst. This eco-disaster could result in a big shortage of seafood, massive price hikes, and public perception already that Gulf Coast seafood is dangerous to eat. Well, restaurant industry consultant Edmund Wu is keeping a wary eye on all the latest developments. He says that it's too early to determine what real impact the BP oil spill will have on the restaurant industry. But, of course, perception is reality, so restaurateurs everywhere need to get in front of the issue right away. Edmund Wu is the author of the 5-Hour Restaurant Work Week. He's also CEO of the South Carolina-based Saskatoon Steaks, Fish, and Wild Game restaurant and restaurant franchise. And Wu says that shifts are already happening in seafood harvesting. Restaurateur and restaurant consultant Edmund Wu joins us on WAMS on the Blog Talk Radio Network to talk about what the Gulf Coast oil spill could mean to all of us who like to eat seafood. Hi, Edmund. Welcome to the program. Hi, Edmund. Welcome to the program. Thanks for being on with us today.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, it looks like things are not good for a variety of reasons in the Gulf Coast with this oil spill, and not the least of which is how it could affect the way Americans eat. So what would it mean for the restaurant business that you follow so closely if things like oysters and shrimp and crab and fish were not available because of this oil spill?
Well, you know, it really depends on the species, but overall, you know, prices are going to go up. You know, for example, I mean, you know, 60% of the oysters, I believe, that we eat in the U.S. comes from down in the Gulf. You know, and right now they've had a number of those oyster beds being closed. So we're going to have to replace those oysters with maybe blue points from Long Island or oysters from the Virginia area. So those prices have already started going up. I think wholesale, I looked yesterday, wholesale per gallon had gone up $10 a gallon for oysters. And, you know, they're anticipating, you know, by the time it's all said and done, that the overall oyster prices might be up 30 or 40%. So you take these, you know, restaurants that specializes in oysters and have promotions on you know, whatever, Tuesday nights, third Wednesday nights, half-price oysters and all that. I mean, it's going to hit those guys very hard.
We're talking with Edmund Wu. He's the author of The 5-Hour Restaurant Work Week, about the impact on the restaurant business that this Gulf Coast oil spill can mean, and it could be quite disastrous. At what point, as a restaurant owner, Edmund, do you have to start passing along those increased costs to you onto your customers?
Well, you know, I think you have to go restaurant by restaurant, but see, what makes it tough is, you know, we've had this recession now for the last couple of years, the last 2 years, and you know, we've been looking at 2010 as the breakout year, that this would be the year that we could, you know, we've been keeping our own prices. You know, we've tried in the last 2 years not to pass on price increases, cost increases through price increases, thinking that this would be the year to do so. But now you have this, and this is not just about seafood, you know, not just about fish and shrimp and oysters. It's about gas prices. You know, they'll use this, you know, as an excuse to jack up. And if you continue travel a lot like I do, gas prices are already up. I mean, they're hitting $3 in a lot of places a gallon. So you have all that, and it costs more for people to come see you. You know, it's hard to raise prices, but you can't run a business and lose money. You know, we lose a dollar on every transaction, but we'll make it up in volume, kind of thing. You can't do that. Yeah, I've seen a number of restaurants already start to raise their prices.
Do you have any sense, Edmund, whether the harvested seafood harvested from the Gulf Coast is safe to consume at this point? And what sort of safety measures does that food go through before it hits the customer's plate?
Well, you know, there are two things. You know, I think it is very safe. They do have all the regulations and all the things that they go through, you know, to get that fish to our table. But then one of the things you have to keep in perspective, though, is that if you look at the overall fish seafood, not oysters, but fish shrimp that we serve in the domestic USA, actually only about 3 to 5%, depending on, you know, who does the study, actually comes from the Gulf. You know, like 83% or 85% or last time I looked or something, you know, of all seafood for the U.S. actually comes from overseas. So, you know, that stuff is still, you know, not affected by this, but those prices are going up too, because, you know, it's a supply and demand thing. As the overall, you know, supply of things, you know, go down, even perception of the overall supply, you know, prices are going up.
So it really is a worldwide phenomenon from a whole lot of different perspectives. And as you mentioned earlier, I guess the restaurant industry, like most other businesses, were already reeling to a certain point based on the recession before this ever happened, right?
Oh, yes, yeah. I mean, it's almost like, you know, what else? You know, what else is going to happen? You know, when you're a small guy operating and especially, let's say, you got into the restaurant business, you know, within the last 2 years, well, it's been one shot after the other.
What about industry groups like the National Restaurant Association? Is there anything at all that they can do or should do to help local restaurants get through this oil spill?
You know, I'm not sure. You know, that is almost a top coming down kind of thing. I'm not sure. I'm sure that they are things that they are doing, but you know, a lot of times, you know, when if you rely and you wait on, you know, some big bodies, you know, to come help you, you know, I think it's more important that independent restaurant owners like myself and the people that I, you know, consult with, that they really have to. You put their own fate in their own hands. I mean, they can look for and see what might be coming down the pike and whatever programs out there that they can take advantage, because, hey, you know, they're out there to be taken advantage of. But you really need to, you know, plan on going at this pretty much alone and duking it out and getting the best of it.
And at the end of the day, it comes down to that individual restaurant owner figuring out how to take care of their supply chain and, I guess, work around this. But the bottom line, in your opinion, higher prices are going to hit and are already hitting the restaurants, and look for them to hit the consumers very quickly.
Yes, you know, it's definitely, you know, we are seeing, you know, within just the last 2 or 3 weeks, you know, we've seen, you know, fish go up $1 to $1 a pound. Like I said, you know, the oysters, $10 a gallon. I mean, those higher prices are coming, and restaurateurs either need to do one of two things. They're going to have to charge more, or they need to they're going to need to change their menu mix, maybe have a less reliance on seafood or less reliance on oysters. Of course, you know, if you're an oyster house or a seafood house, that's kind of hard to do.
Sure.
And, you know, and then, of course, you know, if you're in those areas like that are directly affected, like Florida, Mississippi, and those places, you know, just the perception of that oil coming up on the shores, apparently, you know, as I was looking on today at USA Today, I think they were saying that Memorial Day reservations for the, you know, Memorial Day are way down, because just on the perception alone that oil is going to be coming. And even though it's not hitting Florida at all yet, you know, but it's already cutting down that tourism. So all those restaurants down there in Florida are going to be hit.
Full impact of this thing could be months, years before we figure it all out. Edmund Wu is our guest today on WAMS. He's the author of The 5-Hour Restaurant Workweek, and we have a couple of minutes left before the break, Edmund, so I have to ask you about this. It's a very intriguing title. Is it possible to work in a restaurant only 5 hours and make a living? How does that work? And tell me about the book itself.
Well, you know, obviously, you know, there are all sorts of ways that to skin a cat, and I actually do. I don't always do, but there are many weeks that I may only put in 5 hours a week at my restaurant because I have other things that I am involved in. Obviously, you know, restaurant coaching and consulting and so forth. It's a lot about building systems. It's a lot about getting your head right. It's a lot about focusing on the right things, that you're just not doing the minutiae of things that could be better be done by other people or maybe not being done at all. You know, I think one of the things that one of the problems with the independent restaurant industry is that the level of entry is so easy. You know, the old joke is, you know, what is the entry level position in the restaurant industry? And that is the owner. You know, a lot of times, you know, we get into this thing, you know, you cook a dinner, you know, for 8 people at your house, and people rave about how great a recipe that you have for whatever, and all of a sudden you go, well, you know, I think I could be great in the restaurant business, and you look at these food channel, all these celebrity chefs, and you go, hey, yeah, I could be, you know, Emerald doing the Bam Bam thing, and so next thing you know, you're in the restaurant business, And man, the restaurant business is not for the faint of heart. I mean, it's a tough business. You know, there's a lot of things that go into it, and you know, and unfortunately, it's a for many people is a on the job experience type of thing. And you know, like I said, if you gotten into this business 2 years ago thinking that it was going to be, you know, it'd be great, you know, with all the different things that have come down the pike. You know, so if you don't have the systems and the foresight and the training and all of that to combat it, no, it's not going to be a 5-hour restaurant work week for you. But if you know what you're doing, you can, and you can still be very successful and have a very good quality of life. Because, you know, that's the other thing with the restaurant business, is that you're always working when everybody else is playing. And so you're raised on the 9-to-5 Monday through Friday thing, and all of a sudden you're in the restaurant business and you're doing, you know, 5 to 9, that's 5 a.m. to 9 p.m. or something like that. You know, you just can't, sometimes you have to throw your hands up and say, you know, I can't do this in 18 hours a day, much less 5 hours a week. But, you know, I can tell you it can be done.
Sounds like a fascinating book for those interested in the food and restaurant business. It's The 5-Hour Restaurant Work Week from Edmund Wu. He is the owner and CEO of Saskatoon Steaks, Fish, and Wild Game, based in South Carolina and franchising nationwide. Thanks for talking to us about how the Gulf oil spill can affect the restaurant business. And if folks want to visit you online, Edmund, what's the best address?
It would be at www.edmundwu.com,
Fantastic. For WAMS, I'm Burke Allen. Thanks for listening.